Hello everybody, this is Loki or Way of Loki and welcome to the No Hit Podcast. Here is my job to interview extraordinary gamers in the realms of challenge running. Whether that be no hit running, completing games in their entirety without taking a single hit or point of damage, speed running, completing games that may normally take hours in mere minutes, and other such ventures. Find out how they do it and how others can do them too. Today's guest is Foxyjira, that's Foxyjira, F-O-X-Y-J-I-R-A, on Twitter, Twitch and YouTube. Foxy is a world record level speedrunner, having completed world record runs in the highly acclaimed Shadow of the Colossus, as well as being a current world record contender for the recently released Death's Door, and has also ventured into no hits, having completed Sekiro Shadows Die Twice without being hit a single time, Sekiro being created by the developers of the Dark Souls series, known for their infamous difficulty. He has also appeared and commentated, ran in events held by GDQ, Games on Quick, and ESA, the European Speedrunning Assembly, both massive speedrunning charity marathons. In this conversation, we go through Foxy's approach to learning these runs, the appeal of no hit that drew him to Sekiro, as well as why there is different categories in speedrunning. Hope you enjoy, and this is the conversation with Foxyjira. One last quick thing, Foxy used to be known as Foxyzilla, but has recently changed his handles to Foxyjira. So that's where you shall find him. So if you hear me call him that, that is the reason. Lovely. Enjoy. Right, Foxy, how's it going, dude?
Going well. How about yourself?
Doing well. First of all, I appreciate taking some time out for this. So we'll go into some of the runs you've done at the moment and world record runs, but I would like to start in, what was your first introduction to speedrunning or challenge running or anything that's caught your interest?
So my first introduction to speedrunning in general was AGDQ 2014, I'm pretty sure. That was before they had actually started doing SGDQs and the like. Mm-hmm. And a buddy of mine in college just introduced me to them, and I spent probably a solid an entire week of a winter break just watching all the runs nonstop. Mm-hmm. And thought it was just super awesome, and then kind of wanted to do it myself, but never really found the time or like the resources to do it.
Yep.
And then in late 2017, early 2018, I watched a speed run of an old Shadow of the Colossus runner, Plush, and saw him doing a run, and I was like, oh, that's super cool. Started looking at it a little bit more, and then found out that the remake for Shadow of the Colossus was going to come out in February of 2018, and that's when I kind of like had my heart set on, you know, starting speedrunning and getting into Twitch, and because at that point it had been sort of a pipe dream. Mm-hmm. And just decided to hop into it, and that's the long short of how it all began.
What was it about the runs on HQ that caught your interest so much that thought this is like something cool?
I don't know. I can't really pinpoint that. I guess it's just more of like I've played games my entire life, and to watch people like have that much dedication to be able to play games that well, and having seen, I guess, kind of breaking into like the challenge run aspect, I had been watching Lobos Jr. A decent mm-hmm. amount from his Souls runs, and was starting to get into the Souls series myself around that time, in 2014, and really just the allure of it all, like the challenges and being able to like play at a high level, and kind of the grandeur of it all, you know, to be on a grand stage like GDQ playing for a bunch of people seemed just really fun and awesome.
So you mentioned the first ones in 2017 was Plush running Shadow of the Colossus. Was it previously played Shadow of the Colossus, which made that one the one you wanted to go, that's what I want to speedrun, or just...
I think at that point it was just, I had thought about getting into speedrunning to some degree, but one thing I think that I've found kind of can turn people off, and I actually, when listening to your earlier podcast episode with Ant, was that it's kind of hard sometimes to look at a leaderboard and think like, oh, you know, I think I'm good at this game. How quickly could I beat it? And then you go look at a leaderboard and you're like, holy crap.
Yeah.
That is a really low time. And you like start watching the run and you're like, holy crap. Like, I don't know if I want, like, it's kind of daunting. You know what I mean? And like,
yeah, definitely.
I'm deep down, like somewhat competitive and like want to be the best and like, at least to some degree and, you know, put my best foot forward, but like trying to dedicate, you know, catch up to that level of play is sometimes very daunting to me. And so as it was a new game coming out, it was a game that I was very familiar with and had played quite a bit since close to its release back in like 2005. Mm-hmm. it was something that I felt like it would kind of be like a fresh start, and like I wouldn't have to kind of crawl my way to the top, I guess, and have to catch up. So, yeah.
And does that pertain to you've recently been running Deathstore, which is a from the same developers as Titan Souls. Does that have like similar feeling of it's a fresh game, there's all new stuff to learn and like real fresh like competitive element at the minute?
Yeah, I think that was sort of it. I guess now that I've been speedrunning a little bit more, yeah, that's I would say that probably is it, is I do enjoy like the newer game aspect and like learning new tricks with people and kind of see like kind of learning with everyone else and pushing myself to it. I have been considering getting into more like, you know, long-standing games, but I work a full-time job, so kind of I guess that's kind of the duality of it, is I feel like I need to have time to, you know, kind of get to that level. And it's kind of, you know, how do I spend my time best? And if, you know, I can still be competitive and, you know, learn with other folks with that newer aspect. So yeah, I think Death's Door, that's kind of what it was too. And I think a bit of my problem sometimes is I tend to get burnt out on games, depending on what they are, fairly quickly. And newer games and just some other certain ones to like are like exempt from that rule for the most part. So I haven't quite burned myself out on Death's Door yet, but can't say how quickly or slowly I'll get there in the future.
So for you, how would you like class burnout? Is that like boredom with the game, or is it progression with the game, or?
I guess boredom might be the right term. It's just I get, yeah, just bored of the game. I want to do something else. A lot of the way that I play games in general is I tend to kind of go, like, I really like to go, I guess the it's not a great way to say it because it sounds so dumb, but like I really want to go hard in the paint. Like I want to play the game quickly, fast, and just like do a bunch of stuff at once and kind of just like overload myself with like content and, you know, things that I can do. And then once I kind of hit that hump of like, oh, now I gotta go slog through the rest of this, then I just like kind of turn it off and stop playing.
like kind of binging the game kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like I go on like these binge fests. That's what I'll do with basically all of the Soul series, is like I'll get a hankering to play one of the games, and like I'll be like, oh, I haven't played with this weapon yet, and then I'll just go, you know, flip it on. I'll get through probably till, and usually it's Dark Souls 2 or Bloodborne, not as much, and sometimes 3. Every so often it's 1 or maybe even Sekiro, and you know, I'll probably binge through like the first quarter of the game, steamroll all the bosses, and then once I kind of get my build, and then it's just like running to area to area. I'm just like, oh well, I've kind of done mostly everything I want to do, and I just kind of leave that character to the wind and go do something else. Same thing with JRPGs. Like I'll play through like the first like quarter of the game for like several days in a row, and then I'm like, yep, kind of hit my you know, my binge need and move on to something else.
It's like the menu is like a graveyard of like past lying past
Yeah,
characters.
that's exactly what it is.
So, in terms of speed running, a basic definition would be like just completing the game as fast as possible. But if you go onto like speedrun.com, they are split. Normally, runs are split into several things, such as like any percent, 100%, glitchless, glitched. And for someone who might not be as familiar with speed running, could you give like an insight into like the difference between like a glitchless and a glitched? Or like percent, like no major glitches, those kind of things.
Yeah, so as it might imply, glitch categories have glitches in them. And generally that's just something that as a base term is something the developer did not intend for you to do. Whether like in Shadow of the Colossus, you're skipping the puzzles by using some of the physics to get directly to a sigil on a Colossus, or in Death's Door, there's a certain set of actions that you can do that allow you to roll in midair across gaps rather than, you know, actually taking an arc as you fall down, going out of bounds, those sorts of things. Whereas glitchless is exactly how the developers intended. You're going through each of the areas, you know, in sequential order, etc., beating things, you know, from if it's a linear game, that sort of thing, or just picking the correct route to go as fast as you can. No major glitches kind of gets into like a, I think that's a big thing you're getting into with speedrunning communities, is that some people are very diehard and that they believe that games Or if you're going to play a game correctly, you shouldn't do it glitched. Or, there's a certain glitch that kind of takes out the fun out of the game, either by, let's say, I know I don't speed run this game, but Journey, in fact, has this a I guess a glitch or some tech that's called fancy flying. And basically, you kind of like wedge yourself into the ground enough that you just launch yourself into the air and you skip like an entire level and just go out of bounds and do all these crazy things. But when you look at the speed run, you're not even like looking at the game. You're mostly just like looking at the ground for like 10 or 15 minutes and then, getting to the end. And some people, well, to me personally, like I understand like you want to beat the game as fast as possible. That's cool. And you can do all these tricks with the gameplay to really, show off your understanding of the tech. But personally, like I want to play the game, to some degree. So it's I think in terms of that, speed running gets very nuanced in the sense of what people want to do, what people value as, playing the game, and then what people think is, worthwhile. And on top of that, you might have instances where, there's some trick that saves 5 to 10 minutes in a run, but it's reset hell. You sit there and you'll keep attempting it over and over and over again. And as long as you go up to that 10 minute mark, you're still saving time, right? But based off of how it might be pulled off, it's some people might be really good at it or get lucky and save so much time. Some people might spend 5 to 10 minutes actually trying to pull it off and reset. And it kind of gets into those semantics of, well, is this worth it for us to do? Should we take this glitch out and mark it as, a major glitch that we shouldn't be doing? So it's a conversation I actually was having last night with a friend about, how you time things. What is a run to some people? What do they want to do? And so those categories really split it out so that everybody can enjoy the game themselves and be competitive in something that they want. But at the same time, there's also got to be a demand for it. So this is a wildly debated topic in a lot of speedrunning and to a lot of people. And it's been a hot topic in some of the communities that I've been in. So it's I don't say I have a lot of experience arguing about it because, honestly, at the end of the day, do what you want. I don't think people are going to care if, you have some restriction or something weird like that. But, for it to be like on a leaderboard or something like that, there's generally a community aspect of an agreement that's going on to how you're going to time it and those sorts of things.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like a topic that could provide a host of arguments with and or friendly
Yeah, I
debates,
could
maybe.
talk to you for the next 20 minutes about that. So, and I assume that's not what you're here for.
So to take a little bit from that, it seems as though the or that having them split into categories is a really nice way of combining like the fun aspect of speedrunning, allowing people to run the games as they like would enjoy them, being able to play them. Because I think an example that I've seen in a speedrun documentary or YouTube video was in GoldenEye, which is like a very, very old game, one of the first speedrun games, I think, where they found out that if they looked down, that meant the character moved faster because there was less frames, but nobody wanted to run it like that because they were just staring at the feet for their entire run, sort of
Yeah, exactly.
thing.
That
So
is
like
exactly it.
so it's like categories that sounds like trying to find that combination of which where people find the most fun and what technically is the fastest way of completing the game.
Exactly. Yeah. What's the most fun? What gives you the most enjoyment out of it, but also, gives you, and sometimes it's the challenge too, what is too challenging or not, what breaches that level of chat fun to challenging and that kind of, toes that line more or less.
Yeah, I think one that goes way beyond that line is there's a run in Hollow Knight called Low Percent, which is where you have to complete, oh well, the challenge they've set there for themselves is to complete the game with the smallest amount of percentage completion at the end of the game, of which they have to get essence in that game by killing mobs and having a random chance of that essence dropping. And this runs are around 50 hours. So
Yeah,
that's
that
the point
sounds
where
so
it's
terrible. Yeah, I've seen lots of different low percent, not videos per se, but I have seen low percent at some places. There actually is a great YouTube video if you don't watch it. That is I believe it's Gymnast 86 does a video on Twilight Princess low percent, and it's a 17-hour long run, and like 12 hours or something of it is just sitting in a text menu where Link gets a rupee, and
Oh,
because
yeah.
you like every loop moves Link like pixels backwards, you have to wait 12 hours just for him to move far enough back that you skip like a whole giant portion of the level. It's a great video. I forget exactly what it's called, but if you look up Twilight Princess Low Percent, it's a very well done video and it's super fun.
I
So
think, yeah, I think I've had that in my recommendation. It's something like the speed run where Link sits in a room for 12 hours or something, I think.
yeah.
So just going it's more specifically into some of your runs, I wanted to go into the appeal for you of longer and shorter runs, because you've done both that I found. A platinum Shadow of the Colossus run, which took, or at least the one that ended up being going on the leaderboard, being 7.5 hours, and then other ones which are more around an hour. So just wanted to break down, like, do you enjoy the shorter runs, and then what's the appeal of longer runs that makes you want to try that?
So I do prefer runs that are around an hour in length, because I feel like that's enough time. So I do stream on Twitch, and so with the Twitch streaming, like an hour long run gives me about 3 to 4. If I do 3 to 4 full runs, I can get those done in an evening, with working full time and still feel like I'm making progress to some degree, right? And I get the chances to reset and maybe practice some things and like actually be around for it. I wouldn't mind doing like a 2 to 3 hour run, but that I feel like that's kind of unique in the sense of a lot of games that I play typically don't have that much content, I guess, in that specific amount for just an any percent run. I have done some very short runs. I think I actually in the past I did a Goose Game speed run that was like 5 minutes long, which was a lot of fun just to kind of plot myself in and do. But those I would say are my preferred like true competitive runs that I think I have the most enjoyment doing. When it comes to the longer runs themselves, so like you said, I've done the platinum run for Shadow of the Colossus, several actually. The first one I did was like 8.5 hours long, and then I slowly whittled it down and kept doing it more, even though it's more of just like a, I wouldn't call it a joke category, but I did it for fun because other people in the community were doing it. With that, I think it was more of like a just a fun competitive aspect to like do something different and like kind of show off my like enjoy the game more than just the 16 Colossi fights, etc. And then I actually, as you may have seen, have done speed runs of Final Fantasy X, which is a on average about 9.5 to 10 hour game to speed run just because it's a JRPG. And I do plan on getting more into JRPG speed running once I go semi full time starting in November. But yeah, with the longer runs like that, I think it's purely just my choice of what kind of games I like to speed run. And like it kind of goes along with that binging aspect that I spoke of before is I like my favorite games growing up were Final Fantasy games, JRPGs, those sorts of things. And so to me, what learning the speed run for that does is kind of allows me to get that binge out of my system, but I get to play the whole game. And 10 being my favorite game of all time is kind of just why I started with it. And it's a pretty simple speed run at the end of the day. The notes are very well done. If you follow them to the T, you're probably going to get about a 12-hour time, which isn't, it's not low on the leaderboard. You're not dead last at 12 hours. My first 10 run was almost 14 hours in length, and then the game crashed on the final boss.
Oh, damn.
So I didn't even get to complete the run. With the longer runs, I think it's just more of either for fun or games that are really important to me at the end of the day, that I want to play them, so that gives me that opportunity to do so. So
So, did I sense a bit of like laughing to hide
yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's
the pain
yes, 100%.
One thing, I've spoken to other people, because I'm mostly from the no hit community, like doing no hit, no damage, and all that stuff. That doing these games, you pay an aspect of running these games is you've enjoyed these games already, and then as you do these runs, you pay so much more attention to them and find out so much more about them, because like you're watching certain tells or something, and you're like looking like laser focused. I'm just wondering if you had that same experience playing these games you really enjoyed with speed running.
Yes. I typically beat it. I typically am that sort of person just in general. Especially having coming, I wouldn't say that I'm a like a, I guess at this point, I am sort of a Souls veteran, and the fact that I played Dark Souls 2 when it came out. I had some prior experience with Demon Souls prior to Dark Souls 2 coming out, and then Bloodborne. Like Dark Souls 2 was like my first like complete experience with it. Bloodborne was my like first initial like real deep dive into everything that went, excuse me, into a Souls series, and from there, just kind of loved everything about them ever since. And I feel like after watching speed, at least watching speed runs and understanding the games more, and at least a lot of those different like tells like you're talking about, that's something that I've kind of been doing for a long time. It's something I use in my Shadow of the Colossus speed runs. I'm somebody that, like I said, even sort of before that, I would focus on those little things, but it's, I think, having been around these types of games for a while, it's certainly something that I've kind of trained myself to do, in the small aspects.
You talked about for having the hour runs is really useful for being able to do multiple runs per stream, even with some resets. And within speedrunning, what's the judgment of doing a reset? Is there a point of, okay, this is too slow, or at what point within a run do you go, it's worth resetting to start over and have a fresh one?
Yeah, so I think the simplest thing there is just, for me, it's timing almost always. Thanks to, resources such as live split or just, times splits in general, or how like segmenting a run for the most part, I understand, what my best time is in that segment, where I can get improvement in later in the run. So it let's say, for example, in Death's Door, there's a set of skips that recently, like I know I have about a minute or two of time save in them, but the skips themselves are a little wishy-washy and whether I'm going to get them first try or not. And so I know that like if I lose a minute there, that I have another minute of time save in, my two segments later, basically, that I can make that time back up and still either get a PB or, get close to my current PB. And at that point, it's kind of just analyzing, where can I save time? Where, what, what's my average going to be of losing time? Am I going for a PB or not? If I am, then, well, that's a wash. I'm either practicing this until I get it to make sure, I'm fresh. And if I do it again next run, then it's not going to be an issue. Or, am I just going to finish out the run because it's the end of the day, more or less? So I guess it's like it's the same as, a hitless run in the sense that, if you get hit, am I still going to be able to PB later because, maybe you got, 3 hits on giraffe, but you took 4 hits on armored warrior, but you took 3 hits on giraffe that, you can get rid of, later, that sort of thing. So.
So going into hitless run, that's a good little segue. What was the pull or the streamer or anything that what was the thing that you saw that meant that went, okay, let's try no hit running for a bit, so let's go into this, because you've done Sekiro, Shura, no hit, correct?
Yes, just Shura for the time being. We'll be doing Immortal Severance at some point, despite my best interest for my heart rate. I had watched Hob for a decent while, on and off, because he was doing, the God Run stuff, or the God Run 2 explicitly. And I thought Hitless was pretty cool always. And it always seemed like a little bit too much because it's definitely something that stressed me out a little bit more than just doing normal speed runs, I guess, because it's just so much more. Like you can make a mistake generally in a speed run, and 90% of the time, that's not, it doesn't cost you, what I mean, the entire run, more or less. Whereas if you make a mistake in a hitless run, well, you're getting hit and that costs the entire run.
Yeah,
I
it's like
guess that
one and done.
it's, yeah, exactly. So it's that's kind of the, I guess, the trade-off there. And so at the hitless, like at that point, wasn't super appealing, but I think a lot of what was happening at that time was Hob was either resetting at Sekiro, or it was, yeah, resetting the God Run 2 at Sekiro, or playing a lot of Sekiro. And I thought that was a lot of fun. I actually tried to start speedrunning Sekiro when it came out, but because of the whole full-time job gig, and personally, I had a lot of issues learning Sekiro when it first came out, just because it was so different from Souls games, and like trying to change my mindset, of don't roll through things, you got to block it,
Mm-hmm.
like in learning the timing and everything was just a huge undertaking for me. And I was only practicing, every other day or trying to do runs every other day just to keep up with whatever else is going on in my life. And so I just really couldn't keep up with a lot of the, I wouldn't say the full-time streamers or people that were really dedicated to it. So I kind of just set it down after I did my casual playthrough and was like, yeah, I probably, it's just stressing me out a lot. I'm not really getting as far, like as much progress as I want. So I set it down, but I really did enjoy it. And so after being able to watch Hob doing that for a while, actually, as Ant said, I started watching your videos, kind of getting curious about it because I wanted something a little bit different from speedruns. Games that I do speedrun, I feel like are not niche in general, but they are fairly like if I want to speedrun a game, I have to really like feel sort of a connection to it, I guess. And like there's got to be something about it that attracts me to play it more and a lot and have a lot of fun with it. And so Sekiro with Hitless, it gave me the opportunity to kind of like get better at the game, but also a bit of a challenge that wasn't necessarily like speedrunning to, the fact of learning all these different things. And as I played it more, like you said, I did, even though I already had understood some things about the game, my understanding just went way through the roof of like how everything actually worked, and I enjoyed it so much more. And like I said, it kind of like the binge aspect of, I want to play a game hard and fast, more or less, and just get my enjoyment out of it. Sekiro was kind of like it felt the most fun to be able to, with like it being a dance in the gameplay between you and all the different bosses and stuff like that. And I think that's why I chose it over any of the other Souls games, because a lot of them are pretty slow in their combat and just very deliberate. And while that's great, I get kind of antsy if I'm not, being active about, or like if I'm trying to wait for a certain move to come through, you know what I mean? So that I can, punish or something like that. Sekiro, it's a lot faster turnaround time than just, oh, he did this attack, he just did this attack again, and reducing that, RNG factor of when you're going to get hit, those sorts of things.
Yeah, for definite. I've learned most of the other From Software games for No Hit and would say that I think engaged is a very good word for Sekiro, the fact you have to keep that focus, keep engaged with it, because if you don't, because there's no like step away from it. Say a really good example is people's first experience with the Genichiro fight in No Hit. So that's one of the biggest learning curves, and there's no kind of break from that fight. There's no running away to the corner of the arena. It's one you've got to keep focused on, and that's a similar thing of what I really enjoyed learning that run, that constant focus.
And I am a very hyper-focused person at the end of the day. Streaming
Mm-hmm.
is kind of hard sometimes because I'm just like really zoned in and I kind of like, pull away to, meme and chat and those other things. So yeah, Sekiro is definitely, the engagement of it is great.
I think a lot of people had the same experience as you with like, I think people who had never played a Dark Souls game had probably an easier experience going into Sekiro, because all those veterans went in, oh, we know From Software, we know how this works.
It was so tough. Like if I still had the VODs left over, and I tend to get like pretty salty with a lot of things, and I think the salt that I show versus what I really feel is a lot more just raw and in the moment of when I'm streaming, because I do give a lot of crap to some games, but I really don't mean it at the end of the day. But yeah, so look, Sekiro was rough, and I had a lot of fun with it. That's very true, and obviously I did the hit list, and I'm going to do more hit lists, so there's a something wrong with me, I guess. But yeah, it was a real tough transition to be able to understand that and be able to understand the like similarities but also the differences.
Yeah, the Team Hitless community needs to be it's mislabeled as a community of no hit runners to a community of closeted masochists or something like
Yeah,
that.
that's that you enjoy pain to some degree, right? It's just it's like getting a tattoo. You get one and it hurts a lot when you're doing it, and then all of a sudden you get done and you're like, okay, ready for like three more, let's go.
Oh, it's
Just the release of like all of the tension. Yeah, when I got the run for Shura, like I think that was the most ecstatic that I've been in a long time for for like achieving something, more or less.
So this could link to Hitless if you approach it the same way, but a fresh speed run, or even not a fresh speed run, how do you approach learning these runs? And if it's separate, how do you then improve on those if that's a separate process?
I think it's fairly similar, like personally for me, I think the learning of a lot of it is just taking it in segments and then, trying to understand it all together. or at least taking in segments, trying to get each segment down really well. And then as soon as I feel like I'm comfortable in each of the segments, starting to do a run. And just go from start to finish, see what you understand, what you don't, and kind of go back to each of those segments and learn as you need. I feel like the biggest thing personally is that a lot of times, like, I'll get really good at one segment, and that causes me to like kind of wane in another. And so by doing all of that, it's kind of just like, rounding it. It's starting small, learning all your bases, and then kind of building it all up together at once. That's how I've always taken each speed run that I've done. Personally, I've tried learning speed runs. Well, I think Bloodborne is probably like the one game that I really wanted to speed run a lot, but because it's a lot harder to take in segments to just get a save file, it's that's why I haven't done it, just because, I don't want to have to make, a bajillion save files, or, have everything loaded differently on, like, a flash card or something like that to put into the PS4. Really not my sort of gig. So if Bloodborne Dubs doesn't come to the PC, then
Okay.
I'll be on that.
Options.
But yeah, I think for me they're very similar in the sense of, segmented practice, whole run that together, practice the segments that you need to work on and go from there.
How far down would you split those segments? So, if we take your Shadow of the Colossus run, for instance, would it be a separation of the boss and the running section to optimize that? Or would it be an entire split?
For that would Shadow's a bit of an easy one, because a split is you load into the game, you run to the boss,
Run and
you do the
boss.
boss, and then you do the next one. So I think that's what made that game a little bit easier. And
So, how
there's
about
also
death?
time. So Death's Door, though, I think that is that's a good piece. I feel like a lot of it is, it's hard to say. Generally, I guess area by area would be the best way to say it. There are Yeah, it probably area by area, and then bosses, like, end of area bosses are probably their own, not their own split, but I would have, something separate to practice with, I guess. How I've been doing it most of the time now is that there's a specific set of each, a specific set of skips that are pretty input heavy, or, like, one big thing about Death's Door is that if you do one of these air rolls over a gap and you fall into the gap, it hard locks you in the game. So you have to alt F4 out, which is no fun. So that's great. But yeah, so just like practicing those sorts of things to avoid that as best as possible, and then kind of, leading my way up to an area in a boss fight. So the segments themselves, I think, can be sort of self-explanatory with like different areas, or, what you're trying to accomplish, but it's very similar in that aspect.
Going from the difference, because you currently have a world record and you've previously had other world records in speed running. It, would you say, how do you approach going to them? Because you've had these records before, world record speedrunner. Approaching a new run, would you, or do you look at your own PB and how to improve each segment, or do you, are you always looking at the top? How do you, like, what's your mindset towards approaching a new game or a new run?
Yes, a new run itself, I think I would like a lot of what a lot of runners do is just go for goal times. So, I may want to be at the top of the leaderboard at some point, but really it's about, on again, that sort of segmented practice of being able to, can I just complete the run,
Sorry, just for someone who might not know, because gold split is your the best time you've ever done in that split in that segment of the run, correct?
So, going for new golds, understanding, where the time saves are. Sometimes in some speed runs, it is useful to, you have to learn new mechanics as you're going into it. So maybe there's a bit of a safer strat, that you can do every time and not lose time by trying a risky strat over and over again. I mentioned before, maybe there's a skip where, you save 10 minutes, and if you're just trying this the skip for 5 minutes, you save 5, 5 minutes of that 10 minutes, you're still saving 5 minutes over just doing it in a normal route, etc. So I think at that point, when it comes, if you're wanting to be at the top, at a top level, it depends on a lot of your comfort. I feel like a lot of people just either want to do, and I guess a recommendation of what the what you're trying to do with the game. In Shadow, a lot of new players seem to think that it's to their benefit to do a quote unquote easier strat, just so they can get it done, and that's fine. But I guess it's just how competitive do you want to be at the end of the day? And for a world record, it's really going to be different for every game. In Shadow, I would say if you're going to go for the world record, just start learning the hard strats right away, because it's going to be to your benefit to have that mechanical knowledge and that muscle memory. Whereas, like I said, those some games, you really need to start building up just a general knowledge of the game and do easier things first and progress to help your full understanding. So it really does vary from game to game. But overall, if there is a community and it's something that they recommend, I would follow their advice, because it really does vary wildly from game to game.
So I was gonna say, so like the community aspect of speedrunning, I imagine it's very like the No Hate community, which is part of, is very like communal. I know that part of community word, which is handy, but like it's sharing information. I imagine speedrunning is the same, but just with a like an added dash of competitiveness between you all. Would that be correct?
I think that's I was thinking about this earlier. Speedrunning itself, I think that competitive aspect of it it can lead to some negative things, but overall, everybody is positive, because we're doing this because we love the game that we're playing. If somebody told me they hated a game and they hated speedrunning it, or like, they hated the game but they wanted to be good at it just to get a top time, I'd be like, well, why are you speedrunning this game at all? Like, why are you even doing this? You know what I mean? It's not like speedrunning, minus some people for like some categories of like Super Mario 64 or some hugely wildly popular games, is going to bring you some sort of like grant fame or grandeur. You know what I mean? Like, we're all here because we like doing this, and we like that, like the smile through the pain sort of deal, like you said earlier. And so yeah, it really is. All the communities that I've been a part of have been very communal and very nice. And like, if I find a strat or learn how to do something, there's nothing stopping me from sharing it with somebody else. Like, why would I hamper that knowledge? That would just be a dick move. You know what I mean? Like, because we're all in this together. So if it kind of would suck, because if everybody kind of kept their secrets to themselves. Because personally, I suck at finding new skips, tricks, etc. I'm not a very good glitch hunter. I'm good at learning, or decent at learning, what other people do and kind of emulating it. And from time to time, because of that focus I mentioned earlier, like, and you were mentioning like those little things that you might notice or see that might help you, give you a tell on how to do a trick, or beat an enemy, etc. I can notice those things from time to time, and that makes it easier. But yeah, if nobody shared their tricks, then it would be a lot less fun. So it's that competitive edge does add some nuance to how people feel about things sometimes. But overall, I think, like I said, we're all here because we love the games that we speed run and play, and do with hitless and those sorts of things. So definitely different in the sense that you get the runner, you don't with hitless, whereas there's always that edge that people want to have with speed running.
Yeah, that theme of there's always a potential improvement, whether that be a second, a minute, or depending on the speed run, an hour potential.
It's a never-ending game, and it's hard to understand when you're kind of done. Like, just understand like what's my limit of do I care about going any farther, getting a better time. And currently I hold third place for any percent Shadow of the Colossus, and I was gunning for the first sub hour in game time, and lost out to another runner who is just an absolute beast of a player in Shadow of the Colossus. And at that point, I was kind of just like, huh, I didn't get it, and I stopped playing for like 3 months, because it's like all the relief of like that tension just like wafted away, because it was gone. Somebody else had done it. So I felt happy with how I played, and I know I can play that game well. So it's at that point, I think it's harder to decide for a speedrunner, but it is a good understanding to have of how far do you want to go with this, so you don't either get burnt out too much, or you can keep still having fun, but you're not going too far as to wane in your want of helping others and all that other sort of stuff.
Was that a decision that to like cause you to leave? I mean, I say leave, but like Shadow of the Colossus, but you still do various things with it, like commentator, which we'll go into in a sec. But was that decision that influence like moving away from Shadow of the Colossus into other like ventures, or was it other
So
degree?
at that point, I had been running the game for what it's end of 2021 now, so almost 2.5 years exclusively.
Oh, okay.
And so I think at that point it was just like I was already starting to kind of burn out, and I was just kind of forcing myself forward to try and get this goal. And I was only doing like maybe 6 runs a week, 2 every other night at most, along with playing other games on stream. And I kind of just, I think I was starting to burn out pretty hardcore at that point. But yeah, I was already starting to burn out pretty hardcore at that point, and I think that was just kind of the straw that broke the camel's back in that sense. So I still like am actively involved in the community and those sorts of things. But I just wanted to take a break to kind of, decide when it's my time to either come back or, kind of just take the back seat and let other people have fun with it and try to give advice as I can.
So speedrunning, I would say, is one of the biggest parts of the live streaming space. Shall we start that way? Would you first agree with that, or?
I think so. I think, yeah, I would say so. That or yeah. I guess I don't really break out too much besides speed running for the most part. I do know a few streamers that, challenge running, I guess, it just in general is something that, we experience a lot of. But yeah, I guess a lot of casual games I don't really explore too much. So yeah, I think so. Yes, that was a really long-winded of me agree way of me agreeing with you.
It's fine. So, from your perspective as a speedrunner, what do you think the appeal of is for viewers? Because there is an enormous demand, of course, like in the live streaming space, for people to watch these speedruns. What do you think that appeal or aspects of that appeal is for people watching, or why people like tune in every day?
Yeah, I think, well, I think a lot of the initial starting points for some people are the fact of, I think, and Ant mentioned this in the previous episode, was it's people really love to watch other people play the games that they loved and kind of share that experience. And then at the same time, watching somebody else just like absolutely demolish a game that, you grew up with and possibly attract you into playing it more like them, is just something that people are innately drawn to. So I think that's the biggest thing is, watching somebody else like do these crazy things with a game that you love. And then I think the next portion is probably what keeps it people coming back is the community aspect of all of it. So speedrunning in general, like we just talked about, has a very strong community, challenge runs, hit lists, et cetera, all a very strong community. So by being able to like enjoy all of that with people online, in times like these,
Yeah, definitely.
it really like adds to that enjoyment of all of it to really, do more than just watch somebody every day, I guess, just purely because there's somebody you like, watching like a television show or something.
I can't just narrow it down to streaming either. They're like, I think over the last year and a half to 2 years, the YouTube aspect of speedrunning has had just as huge an increase. The amount of like speedrunning document or like story videos would maybe be a good point, like around videos like that, and YouTubers such as Carl Jobst, who has a channel dedicated around speedrunning and challenge running, which is very interesting. And then, although I will say that a lot of videos that get the high views are cheating
Yeah. People like
videos and like rage videos. Yeah,
drama.
it's. Just like if there's a video saying cheater exposed or anything like that in speed running, God, like bring on the millions and the rage, and obviously the rage compilations. I don't think there's, I think we've all been on like the midnight binge of some of those.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's I think just yeah, like you said, people have really had to turn to the internet a lot because of the pandemic, just in general. And that's honestly like shadow speedrunning was, I don't say it was kind of dying out in early 2020, but it was definitely in a bigger lull. And thanks to the pandemic, we almost doubled or tripled our numbers, which, going from like 5 people to 15 isn't crazy, but it
It's
does add up. It's
tripled.
enough to make a big difference, in how you are perceived and like kind of the reach that you have with like, all that different stuff. So yeah, it's the pandemic had its positives and certainly, all of its negatives. So it's kind of a weird dichotomy in that sense of, people like us who've been on the internet for a long time, everybody else joining us, I guess.
Here's one thing I am enjoying though, the seeing the spread towards, I won't say mainstream because I think it's still far, far away from that, but in terms of large scale or wider-viewed events such as GDQ, for instance, of which you've experienced commentating, and another one that you've run in, is it ESA?
Yeah, so I did an ESA, which is the European Speedrunners Assembly, for their COVID piece, and yeah, commentary for GDQ, and I've done two GDQ hotfixes, which is just like, their weekly like showcases and stuff like that. But yeah, not definitely not as big as a full GDQ event.
It's something, isn't it?
It's something, but
Yeah,
yeah.
I've done small amounts of which I was a tad nervous of.
I think the best commentary I've done is when I'm bantering with the runner the entire time, which is hard to do sometimes because they're focused and if you crack a joke, they might be a little bit you don't want to hurt their feelings, or at the same time you don't want to like hype them up too much to you know what I mean? Like if they fail a trick or something. I think that's one big thing that I saw with shadow speedrunning is that like there's a couple big tricks that if you do something just wrong, it's like, oh, look at this big trick coming up, and they fail it, and you're like, and that was their one chance to do it, so you don't get to see it, more or less. Come back next time. On this episode of Dragon Ball Z. But yeah, so I don't know. Commentating's fun. It's a learned thing to do to certainly understand what's good to say and what isn't. And then also being on the same page if there's other commentators, but good idea to always talk with them beforehand and kind of get your stuff. So,
Like have an understanding of what they expect, of what's good, what's bad, what's toe the line for like the particular like host, so to speak.
Yep, exactly.
Turn into the like widespread these events, like in terms of like the mainstream wise, there's so many events, or especially charity wise in gaming, not just speed running, but like gaming in general, from content creators on YouTube, on Twitch. These GDQ, I think over the last 2 years, GDQ's like raised 5.5 million each year, through a combination of the AGDQ and the SGDQ, the summer and the morning ones. It's like amazing, but it's also surprising that it's not covered more in the mainstream, because like millions and millions and millions are like raised by creators and these separate gaming events. So I don't. Would you like? Do you think there's a? I know this is like separate, but like. A reason why it doesn't break out as much? Is it just because it's gaming and gaming is like traditionally or typically known for kids or stuff like
Yeah,
that?
I think that's definitely it. It's hard to like games themselves kind of I think games are becoming more are seen as a mature activity because nowadays it's let you used to hear like growing up, like oh games cause violence, blah blah blah, and like they're corrupting our children's minds, et cetera, and obviously that was wildly off base, but I feel like that narrative is starting to die down a little bit more because games are starting to mature because the people who play games are also starting to mature. And there's a market for that, even though, we have stuff like mobile games and, there still are, like games like Devil May Cry and other sorts of things that are, I guess violent, and like have that sort of like that, bloody aspect to it and stuff like that and Doom. But, great games nonetheless. I'm not trying to say they're bad, but that could hold to that narrative. But as we're kind of starting to reach that like that tipping point of it's just becoming more normal. I think in the next 5 to 10 years it's gonna certainly be a lot more in the spotlight, I guess. I think it's just hard now to realize that, and a lot of people don't want to accept that. And I think it's not necessarily that people are also, actively shying away from it. It's just I think there are other things in the world that do similar things but don't are on the same level of like it's not in the forefront of everybody's mind, I guess I don't really know that much about charities in general, but companies will donate, X millions of dollars, every year to charity, but they put out like a media response to that and it's, show that they're doing that. Whereas for gaming and gaming events, it's just a lot of word of mouth, and it really doctor like how many people are subscribed to the, or follow the Doctors Without Borders Twitter, and are like, thank you, GDQ, and all you gamers for donating another $2 million, those sorts of things. Like they love GDQ because of how much money like the people give. But I think the PR aspect of it just isn't there yet.
Like the engagements that they have in like communities such as this, that like they can raise that amount of money with the audience essentially, as opposed to something that is more mainstream or we can have like a full public kind of media presence, it's like quite shocking how much that think people can do, like as individuals or as like set up in this space.
Yeah, and I think it's hard to get it out there too, because I mean, a funny example of like this going the wrong way was, I think, I forget which GDQ it was. I'm pretty sure it was like 2018. That year, there was a one speedrunner who I thought the run was hilarious. A lot of people think the run was really funny, but they kept making like they kept bantering too much on the stream,
Oh,
and the and like you know the GDQ ended up like putting out a public apology on Twitter to Air
man.
Canada, and Air
Oh, I
Canada
saw this.
and Air Canada was like, DM us about this. What are you talking about? And
Wait.
like everybody was like, no, why'd you say something? Who cares? Like it's some dude making jokes about Air Canada, like you know. And like it is
Yeah.
it like that's kind of like a bad PR sense, but at the same time, like nothing really came of it. So you know, it's a little bit more limited in the sense of, you know,
Yeah.
that sorts of things, but
Yeah, I
it goes
remember
both ways. Sorry, I'm just
that.
thinking about that. It's just funny.
Yeah, they were making jokes about Air Canada, and I think like the PR person at GDQ or whichever event host it was, it might be they may have overestimated how far-reaching the stream was gonna be.
Yes, and it was, yeah, they way overestimated it because literally nobody outside of GDQ or some speedrunning communities had any idea about what that was about. So, yeah, I think that kind of shows like, yes, there we do good, but at the same time, you know, obviously, like we don't have like the media presence that we do, that other companies do, I guess, as a general community, because we're also segmented, right? It's not like it's one company doing all of these things.
Yeah,
It's
yeah.
so many different communities coming together, and you can't just be like, yes, like we don't have one representative, you know what I mean, to do those sorts of things.
It goes down to so many, like speedrunning itself is its own niche, very, very niche thing and its own community, and then there's like micro communities within like separate games, and then there can be even like niches within those micro communities, such as like the categories that we talked about. It like goes can go so far and narrow down. If you had one piece of advice for a new speedrunner, what would it be? New
I
speedrunner.
want to.
Go on.
No, I was just gonna say if you want to speed run, there I would personally pick your favorite game almost and try and just try some stuff, or look up some of your favorite games. I think that personally for me is a lot of like where like I wanted to speed run is I wanted to play these games better and have that competitive edge with it. And a lot of the games that I do speed run tend or like have been drawn to speed running are my favorite games. Now I won't say that for everybody because some people you know don't want to ruin their favorite games more or less, but that's where I kind of you know dipped my toe in to start and kind of explored that space more or less.
So with challenge running, imagine a lot with speed running, there can be moments where the universe can either be with you or against you in terms of like potentially RNG. Can you think of a moment where either it saved the run or ended it horribly, if one thing comes to mind?
RNG, man. Several times in Death's Door, I've just been gangbanged by enemies a lot and not in a good way. It's been very salt producing. I was on a sub-hour attempt for Shadow of the Colossus over, you know, over a year ago now. And I was on the second to last boss and I messed up a skip a couple times in a row. And I ended up 7 seconds off of a sub-hour time, or 8 seconds. It's an hour 7. So yeah, I think the just time moments like that where you just don't pull through, I think is my biggest thing. My nerves really get the best of me a lot, and that's something that's like my biggest thing to overcome is nerves. And so yeah, RNG can certainly be a thing, but controlling your nerves for some people is oh just as hard. Hearing your heartbeat through your chest and up in your throat, sort of deal.
Yeah, definitely that end game feeling kind of thing.
Oh yeah, being on fire, Yasheen. Ugh.
would you say, would that be your most hype moment or most nervous moments at the end of that run, or would it be like at the end of one of your PB or world records?
Honestly, I think Fire Isshin doing Hit the Shura was probably the most exhilarating in recent moments. Certainly, I've had times like several years ago getting world records and stuff like that, and definitely has exhilarated. But I think that's the first one that I really like captured on video, like going nuts and like kind of losing my crap, about all of it. So that was the most recent one for sure. Just that felt so good, and talking about it now makes me feel really good, just because it lives in itself is so much of a different aspect. And yeah, just keeping myself like learning to keep myself under control in that aspect, with that game, it's just so much.
If one game could be released tomorrow, whether a game that's been announced, unannounced, or a sequel to a game that you don't think will happen but would like to be, what game would it be?
I have two answers. So, I want to say three. So, Ant also said this. Elden Ring's already coming out. We know Elden Ring's coming out. I'm not going to say Elden Ring because we don't need Elden Ring tomorrow. It's coming in January. It'll be fine. One game that I really, really want to play that's just kind of been in the back of my mind for a long time. It's a game called Little Devil Inside. I'm starting to get a little scared because it's been in kind of dev hell for several years now. But I don't know. Just something about the game just kind of like, interests me a lot, and just kind of seems like a lot of fun to play. It seems like it has some Souls aspect with some exploration and like the art style and character. Like I really like the trailer of it, so it kind of warmed me up a lot. And then shit, I have four answers. So I'm also, like I've mentioned a lot, a big Final Fantasy fan, and so Final Fantasy VII Remake is in the current process of being developed and released, etc. So if we could get all of Seven Remake tomorrow, I would lose my nuts, just because. So Final Fantasy VII was like my first real foray into video gaming, where like that was the game that got me into video games in general. And so I was one of those people when Seven Remake came out, and like watching the opening cutscene, like almost crying more or less, basically. So I'm really excited to see where they go with that, but also really apprehensive because just what they've done with the Kingdom Hearts series. And then last answer, Final Fantasy X-3 is a possibility after Final Fantasy VII Remake, 10 being my favorite game of all time. So if I could get that too, I would just, I don't want to say I would die, but I might faint. Like, more or less.
There might be a
So there's a
fate
lot of
there.
games there, but those are my like top three expectations of what I want. And sooner than later, please.
In challenge running, especially, or I should say in no hit running and speed running, because there can be some challenge running where it's quite chill and it's just like a random, like no money or no geo or something like that. Or but speed running and hitless running can cause a lot of stress, especially when it's like a personal challenge you're trying to improve. So there can be times when you're either not getting a PB or you're not proving or not doing as well as you believe you could. And it can be taking a toll, and other people will be in that situation potentially. So, if you could tell time when you're in that situation and how you managed to improve from it, or managed to get over it, or you know what I mean?
Yeah, a lot of time. So, like I said, my nerves really, really get the best of me a lot, especially in games. Just because, I don't know, that just, as then I start focusing on the little things too much almost. Like we said before, like, yes, an enemy has a tell, but I might like overreact to a tell, or try to predict it too much and kind of ruin myself in that aspect. I think the biggest thing for me has been taking a break, really, because a lot of it is too much. Possibly getting into like muscle memory and not that nice balance of understanding what I need to do and kind of just letting myself flow. And I've taken breaks from games, and about a week, maybe sometimes more, sometimes less, and come back to it like a day or two later. And it's really refreshing just to kind of think about all that sort of stuff and kind of just solidify it in your mind, and then kind of just bring like let yourself relax a little bit and take a break and come back and like do better next time. It's hard to get in that mindset sometimes of you need to take a break, and understanding that if you do walk away from a game for a little bit, will you retain the same level of play that you're doing or that you currently have? But I've seen a lot of the times, if you are well practiced enough, you're going for a top time, or you have a low PB in like a hitless game, taking that slight break really helps you just compose yourself and understand, take a step back from everything that you're doing and kind of understand the run as a whole and where you can improve and, you know, what you need to focus on a little bit more, or how you can just, you know, understand the whole process.
Yeah, definitely. I can have personal examples of that where in like fresh or new runs that I've learned when I've just gone through a video and learned the strats and learned how to do certain things and I've gone away from them and come back. It's basically been an entire reset, but a run that I've learned in depth or understood, like understand why I'm doing this dodge, why I'm doing this movement, why I'm doing this. It's a lot harder to forget than you think. Like you go away and then you come back to it and you're just like, it's not just a case of moving 2 steps to the left, it's knowing why you're doing that, or you've had that previous time that it's got ingrained because you're understanding why you're doing that and
Yeah,
is comes back quick.
it's huge. Yeah, it's it, you really retain it a lot better than you do. It kind of let it lets it get into your long-term memory a little bit better. I think the most recent example, so I was struggling quite a bit in Death's Door with breaking out of my own PB, which was an hour seven. And then I took about a week and a half break earlier this month, as I, you know, went on vacation, and I came back, and within like a week, not even a week or two, I beat that PB by 7 minutes. So it's certainly something just to get, like you said, take that time and really understand what you're doing and let that get ingrained into your brain is a lot more powerful than you think it is.
And then the final question that I have is, what's in the future plans of Foxyzilla?
Yeah, so currently the most upcoming thing, I guess, event-wise, is I'll be doing a speed run for Death's Door at Speed Souls, at the Speed Souls Marathon. I forget what the charity is, but it'll be on, currently scheduled for November 5th, or the weekend of November 5th. So really excited to do that. That's going to be the second marathon I've done Death's Door in, and then I hopefully, if it gets accepted into GDQ for AGDQ 2022, I'll be doing hopefully commentary for that for another speedrunner who has the current world record. Other than that, I'm going to be attempting, or at least striding into full-time streaming starting November 1st, or at least that week. So be streaming quite a bit more. I'll doing hopefully like expanding on my content at least a little bit with doing more speedruns. Shura, not Shura, Sekiro Immortal Severance is on the list of things I'd like to learn. And then obviously when Elden Ring comes out, I'm gonna jump on that, just like everybody else on Twitch, basically.
Yeah, it's gonna be an
Yeah.
absolute rush for
Yeah,
it.
it's gonna be insane. But yeah, so that's kind of like the short and the long term. But for that time being, yeah, focus on Death's Door. And I actually am just starting to learn the Little Nightmare speedrun as something fun to do, and kind of to break the monotony of Death's Door speedrunning in some ways. And because it's spooky month, I'm only about 2 minutes away from the current world record holder in Death's Door. And at this point, that's just kind of like the, you know, like I said earlier, RNG pieces, or, you know, just getting kind of lucky at a couple skips. So it's I don't want to grind myself into the ground too much, you know, and not enjoy that game by the time I have a marathon to do. So
Yeah, and perfect time to do themic. It's perfect.
yeah, exactly. So
Is there anything do you want to plug?
yeah, oh,
Or
I guess
yeah.
so. Yeah, I will say Foxyzilla 54 on Twitch. gotta get that out there. There is another Foxyzilla on Twitch that is not me. She is a great Twitch streamer, but I don't really interact too much. So yeah, Foxyzilla 54 on Twitch. Foxy Cleo on YouTube. I try to post most of either PBs or random things, clips, etc. on YouTube. I think I have some pretty funny meme videos that I've made here and there. And I plan on putting some of my top scare moments, I guess would be the best way to put it, from Twitch clips onto Twitch. They're really good. I watch. It seems sort of vain of me to do so, but I rewatch my own Twitch clips because I like laughing at myself with how scared I get sometimes.
It's
But yeah.
it is a weird thing when you do this sort of thing, when you like watch your own stuff back and you're just like, what would like you like see an outside perspective of what you're doing and you're just like,
Yeah.
at least I get confused of what I
Yeah. You're like, what's going on? Yeah. I think it's also a good way to like analyze yourself and like at least understand, I guess, how you act. You know what I mean? Like, you're not being too weird, or like, I don't
Yeah,
want to say like
definitely.
you're acting too weird, but you know, just kind of like when it comes to presentations and stuff like this, to understand how to compose yourself better and, you know, reduce the number of, you know, maybe you're saying, and those sorts of things. So a lot of what I've learned is taking pauses instead of saying is a really powerful way to communicate with people sometimes. But it's not related to gaming. That's just related to presenting yourself in general. When you're streaming, just be full on emotional and salty, because people love it when you're angry. And it's more
No.
fun for them sometimes. At least that's what people tell me. So.
I don't think you're wrong. Not wrong. Lovely. Well, Foxy, again, I appreciate taking some time out for this. Hope you enjoyed. I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah, sounds great. Thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
No worries, and I hope everyone's enjoyed it, and we should catch you later.